So a week ago, popular soccer reporter Grant Wall dropped dead at just 49 years old. Medical investigators say he died of a severe aortic aneurysm. Don't worry, we've already checked, and you know exactly where this is going. Grant Wall was an avid advocate for getting vaccinated and got jabbed himself as quickly as he could. We can guess he kept up to date on all of his boosters as well. According to some reports, Grant had some kind of a chronic condition that contributed to his death, but it seems highly plausible that the bioweapon injection falsely referred to as a vaccine exacerbated it and brought on his death. But Grant's not the only one. The next in line for the throne of Thailand, Princess... Okay, I'm not even going to try to say this name. Anyway, the Princess of Thailand has suffered a heart attack and collapsed while out running. According to some reports, she's unlikely to recover. We believe she's on life support right now. The princess is just 44 years old. These stories will keep piling up, day after day, week after week. How long will people just let themselves be lied to? Monica Matthews hosts the show Life, Love, and Liberty, and she joins us now. Monica, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, Stu. It's good to be here.
Yeah, what is the threshold for death?
Well, that's a good question, because after I had you on to introduce your documentary, Died Suddenly, you know, initially people were like, wow, this is amazing. Thank you for the information. And instantaneously, it turned into... I'm fear-mongering. We have to be nice to people who might be living in fear, which I did actually preface, you know, people watching this with, hey, you know, be prayed up before you watch it, because it's got factual data in it, you know, pulling things out of people's bodies that should not be there. And if you have been vaxxed, this may cause you some anxiety, okay? But certainly not used to, you know, fear monger, otherwise scare people to death about what's been happening to people who have been vaxxed. Your documentary did a great job revealing those things, but I really think we're dealing with a level of dissonance that this country has never experienced.
You know, I see both sides of this, Monica, and we're friends. We talk offline. And you've come at me and said, hey, I don't think you should be so crass and, you know, so brazen. And sometimes you think that maybe I pushed the envelope of language and that it could be hurtful to people that might be scared. But you know what? These people have a reason to be scared. They have been victimized by a biowarfare attack, and they should be angered, self just like aware, I guess, just righteous indignation. They should be really pissed off about what has been done to them, and then become an echo, a bullhorn, essentially, like we are, to the rest of the world. Please don't do this to yourselves.
Right. Right. Well, so I asked my Twitter audience, why do you think it is people have a hard time admitting what is now being revealed? You know, two very famous doctors who were banned from Twitter were recently allowed back onto the platform, and they were involved in the Twitter space last evening. And I did not participate, but there were thousands of people who signed up to go, who are revealing, you know, things that and data and facts and studies that they're now rolling through, and people are still having a hard time receiving, even though they've kind of idolized and championed these folks because they were banned. Now that they're back and the data is coming forward, people aren't so ready to accept it. So I asked my audience, why do you think that is? And a few of them said, I think people have taken it. Who have taken it have a hard time because they would have to think about their own mortality. Those of us with our eyes open through all of this expected it. Another one says, no, too much cognitive dissonance to overcome. Another lady says, I think people aren't able to grasp it. We have been bombarded by media, brainwashed. But we have to keep getting the real truth, and actual science and peer-reviewed data still needs to be extrapolated and disseminated to the public. You know, I would say that the worst part of the fallout of COVID-19 is the cognitive dissonance. It is the mental warfare that has taken place. And it reminds me of, you know, I never could understand how people could possibly argue with the Holocaust was real, right? But there are people to this day, and people who were alive then, who still believe that it never happened. And you think to yourself, how in the world is this possible? And so I, being a minister, have to go to the Word. And 2 Thessalonians 2:7-12 defines it precisely. We have been given a great delusion, And people, because they've rejected truth, because they have rejected the Father of health and life and hope eternal, we placed our faith in the arm of man, which is already, it already curses us according to the word. And we're left, you know, scrapping and pulling and climbing and clawing at each other and denying the actual truth of science. And we're open to, you know, faux sciences, to fake information, to lies. I mean, this is a war of truth versus lies.
It's beginning to look a lot like genocide everywhere you go. Listen to what they said. Your government wants you dead, with booster jabs that last forevermore. It's beginning to look a lot like genocide with every jab you take. But the only thing you'll see if you're watching BBC is that the shit's all fake. Boris has said that he'd rather you dead as soon as you possibly can. If you don't comply, he'll give you a fine and drag you away in a van. He'll make sure you won't be spending Christmas with your nan. It's beginning to look a lot like genocide in every hospital. But the nurses dance all day while the doctors count their pay, and there's no one there to take your call. It's beginning to look a lot like genocide. They're jabbing kids in school, but if you're out of luck, Big Pharma doesn't give a fuck, and it's all your fault.
See, that's what they promise in all the Masonic degrees. They say, you know, you get light. You get further light. You get more light. And of course, where does this light come from? Well, if you read the writings of the Masonic leaders, that comes from Lucifer.
And how many Masons know that?
Maybe one in a thousand. But most of them don't have a clue unless they bothered to toddle upstairs and read the books that are in their own Masonic libraries like I did.
How many Master Masons know that there are Satanists among them?
I'd say the same figure I quoted earlier, one in a thousand.
Right.
Pray things like, Holy Spirit, I want you to fill me. Heaven responds, he wants to fill you. You're just too full of yourself. We so often cry out for him. And we say, give me more, give me more, give me more of your Holy Spirit. Give me more of your power. Do you realize, child of God, that the moment you were born again, the fullness of his power and his person came to dwell in you? It's not about you getting more of the Holy Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit getting more of you.
You're a fake. And believe it or not, that's really good news. Allow me to explain. Paul the Apostle writes, "So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it." Now here, Paul is not saying that he isn't responsible for his own sinful decisions. Rather, he's choosing to not identify with the sin nature. Yes, sin has consequences. But this doesn't mean we ought to find our identity in our mistakes or even in the consequences we bring upon ourselves. Your true identity is found in your spirit, the part of you that is connected with God, that is complete and righteous. So, when you sin, you are indeed a fake. You're a fake sinner. You're not a wolf in sheep's clothing, you're a sheep in wolf's clothing. When the believer makes a sinful mistake, he or she is acting outside of their real nature and their true identity.
Yesterday, I felt the nudge from the Holy Spirit to look up the length of my last video, 28 minutes and 52 seconds. I looked it up in Strong's Hebrew Concordance, and it is to divide or determine, and it also can mean cut or cut off. These were the words that the Holy Spirit gave me, which my past two videos were about. I do not believe this is a coincidence at all. It also leads to the scripture in Daniel 9:24. It says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. And it goes on to talk about the prince who will come, the Antichrist, who shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. I believe that the Lord is showing us that the revealing of the Antichrist is just around the corner. And of course, we know the rapture comes first. Maranatha, look up. Jesus is coming.
There are a lot of horror stories going around about the working conditions in some of the world's most high-traffic warehouses. This footage from TikToker DarkTale Zero takes the terror to a whole new level. The footage appears to come from a security camera in a packing warehouse. Take a look at what unfolds. Watching that again, a nearby pallet of boxes suddenly begins to roll towards the worker. He barely jumps out of the way in time to avoid a painful collision. As he stares at the pallet, all of the boxes on the shelf next to him suddenly come crashing to the floor. As they fall, his feet are swept out from under him. He slides down the aisle, dragged by some sort of unseen force. So is there a poltergeist haunting this warehouse? Not everyone is so sure. A few viewers are convinced that the footage was staged, or that it took place on a large ship and that violent ocean waves caused the strange events. However, waves strong enough to send a person flying across the floor would surely make a few more boxes tumble as well. Many believe that only something paranormal could be responsible for this strange footage. But could it be a poltergeist? Let us know your theories on this one down below.
Hey everyone, hey brothers and sisters, Ewan McGregor is a famous actor. It would seem here he's darkening one of his eyes, doing one-eye symbolism. Along with that, he hides his hand in his coat the way a Freemason would do. Along with that, he hides his hand in his coat the way a Freemason would do. Along with that, he hides his hand in his coat the way a Freemason would do. This information needs to get out there. People need to realize what their entertainment, in quotes, really is. Ewan McGregor, the famous actor, hides his hand in his coat the way a Freemason would do. God bless you.
Laurie, what do you need from the Lord?
Restoration of my family.
So I'm looking at your family and it's like they've been scattered or something.
Yes.
And that's the power of God drawing the family members. That's what I believe. Drawing the family members in Jesus' name. I want to pray for someone and you've got problems with going down into your tailbone. Hey, what happened?
I was just coming up to the front for prayer and you just spoke my problem out. Praise God, that never happens.
That's the power of God going through you. In Jesus' name. Come, the lady there in the dress, black and white dress, can you come? That's the power of God going through you. Yeah, come. What do you feel happening, Sarah?
I feel woozy.
God loves you. What do you need from the Lord?
Well,
so what happens with the muscle pain?
I just get really tight, especially my legs, like my hips and knees.
That's the power of God going through. You've got lower back,
yes.
And it's more, it's muscular going around into the pelvis.
Yes.
So what's happening? The light of Jesus is locating your problem. And the light of Jesus is life. Jesus is not only working on your back, he's working on your life. Laura. Okay? Power of God's coming on the grandchildren, the autistic grandchildren. It's the power of God coming on the grandchildren. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. What do you feel happening, Laura?
It's like a calm coming over my body. Heat.
Okay, so you can go do something with your back. Off you go.
I said it was hurting just a minute ago, and now I don't feel anything. Thank you.
That's because Jesus healed you. Would you like to stand? God knows about what you want. Okay, just hold it up. What's a viral sickness?
Like I have viruses throughout my, the unknown, like not normal.
Where's the guy who had Lyme disease? Who had Lyme disease? Come. Now, you look at him, and he's a living example of what you will be. A lot of injured backs, isn't there? Come on back. All right, take it for a walk. That's the glory of God on your back. Okay, I think you're all right. Bend over, do something. How's that?
Feels good.
Who healed you? Jesus.
I said I wasn't sure what to write.
You have a child?
Yes.
But I'm seeing a distance between you and the child.
Okay, yes. Yes, I have two. And one I'm closer with than the other, as well as the physical proximity is correlating with that.
So the other one I'm talking about, the one that you're distant from, okay? It's not that you're closer to one than the other, it's that you're distant from one.
Yes.
Okay, go to, it's a daughter, is it, or what?
Yes, that's true.
So go to your daughter and ask for forgiveness. Okay? Because her heart is growing hard. You need to go and ask for forgiveness. Even though you think she was wrong, ask for forgiveness. Okay? And then you'll have that breakthrough. That's power got on your knees. Power got on your knees. Power got on your knees. There they go. There you go. There you go. What do you feel on your knees? What do you feel? What do you feel?
Nothing.
Not as much as before.
Okay, you're fine. Just go for a walk. Go for a walk. How's that?
It's better.
Hey?
It's better.
Who healed you?
Jesus.
You run on the spot.
Feels good.
Take me to your